You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Oh, Annie says, Annie from Watertown says, what's wrong with radio? She says, aren't you a radio show? That's a great point, Annie.
I was going to say, yeah, we are.
We are. But there's so many, like, I mean, I think most of our listeners are not on the radio. They're on the app or the stream.
Yep.
But listen, listeners, any way possible. The issue was Ollie couldn't give us a like or a follow because she was listening on the radio. Having said that, if she just gave us a thumbs up in the privacy of her own living room, that's much appreciated too. Just great to have you guys listening. I don't care how you find us. Just find us. And thank you for your text. Annie from Watertown also says, young folks just don't know how good soda with sugar is better. I totally agree with that. And I've had people say, nope, I like the high fructose corn syrup better. None of it's good for you. But if you're going to drink soda, and I do like a good soda once in a while, but I always go real sugar. And I could not agree more. I think it tastes much better. All right. Rob Thomas is coming up in hour number two. He'll be here at 7:20. We'll talk movies with Rob. Right now, I'm excited. I can't believe it's been this long since we've had this last guy on the show. But he's an excellent writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He covers music. And he's just an all-around swell guy. And he joins us now on the stream, Mr. Piet Levy. Hey, buddy.
Hello, Pete. Thanks for having me. Good to be back on.
Thank yeah, I like I said, I can't believe, and I thought of you because I saw the Summerfest lineup was out. And I'm like, oh my God, like, but I don't need to have you on just because the Summerfest lineup is out. I mean, we should do this more often, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I'm down anytime. So, but happy to talk Summerfest, music, anything. Let's go.
Let's just jump in. You know, should we start with Summerfest? Let's start with Summerfest because there's a lot of
sure.
acts and, I mean, you're a guy who covers it every year. Do you ever see changes year to year? I mean, it's always exciting because there are new bands and there's bands you haven't seen before and a great opportunity to see them in a different setting. But what do you notice, Piet? I mean, you've covered this for years. Is each year a little different or are the acts just different?
Yeah, I mean, there's a formula to Summerfest. I mean, they obviously want to do a something for everyone kind of approach. And I think every year they generally kind of do that pretty well. There are times that it's a little more exciting from my perspective than other times, where there's like certain there's genres that maybe aren't always super well represented. And like last year, for instance, there was a ton of like Latin music, a ton of Spanish language music, and that's pretty rare at Summerfest. And there's been a yeah. surge in popularity for Spanish language music. And there were several acts like that last year. That was really exciting to
wow.
see. That was different. And there was a lot of like Milwaukee's hip hop scene is just having a really golden moment right now with lots of major national media attention. You know, Pitchfork did a big write up on them and Rolling Stone, and they're getting shout outs from major players. And last year there was a ton of great Milwaukee rappers. So, you know, there are moments like that that are really exciting to see. But generally, it's something for everyone. I mean, if you want to go and see, you know, Phil Vassar for the 30th time, you can go see Phil Vassar for the 30th time at Summerfest. But if you want to go see something different, there's something there too. I mean,
yeah.
there's a Japanese metal band called Baby Metal. There's going to be finally the new wave of Afrobeats. It's another genre that just that kind of music doesn't always make it to Milwaukee. Doesn't make it to Milwaukee very often. But there's a really exciting rising star in that field, Ira Star, that's playing. That's really great to see.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think there's fresh stuff there. There's, you know, the usual kind of stuff that you always see there. And again, I think this year it succeeds as being kind of something for everyone. And some of those gets are pretty unique. You're going to see there this year, Devo. I mean, they're going on tour, but it's one of their last tours. Probably gonna be the last chance to see Devo in Milwaukee. That's a pretty cool thing to see there. Summerfest is kind of ahead of the curve, I think, with Benson Boone. He's playing at the Amphitheater July 3rd. And when they booked it, I was like, gosh, I don't know if he's quite ready for the Amphitheater level. but his popularity has just surged since then. So they kind of proved me wrong. A lot of those tickets are selling really well. He just put an arena tour that's going on sale this week, and that's already, the pre-sales have been really strong for that. So, you know, and there's going to be an artist named Alex Warren, who's, you know, is a Song of the Summer contender. He's going to probably have a massive audience on July 4th. And then also Fountains of Wayne, it's going to be their first show in like, gosh, over a decade, and they're going to be playing at Summerfest, which
who's,
is really
who's
cool.
Who's that? So, who is that? You
Fountains
just...
of Wayne. Fountains of
oh,
Wayne.
Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so great. Let's talk about the big headliners first. Boy, it's funny because some of these acts, to me, what I would get excited about, and if I lived like near Summerfest, I would go to see like Gary Lewis and the Playboys or some of these people that like were headliners decades ago, and now you can still see them if you like their music. Like it's a great way to see them that's not that expensive. But some of the headliners, like Def Leppard, is still headline. That surprised me. I mean, they're a huge band, but to be headlining the main stage still, that's kind of impressive.
Yeah, no, Def Leppard's still doing really well. I mean, there's definitely a lot of love for them on that classic rock and that classic rock era. You know, they had a stadium tour. The last time they were in town was a stadium tour with Motley Crue that sold really well at American Family Field. That was 2022 or three. So yeah, they're still able to kind of pack big arenas. I feel like they've even gotten more popular because I think the last time they played Summerfest, they were co-headliners with Journey fill that amphitheater. And then here they are, they can kind of come back, and I think they're doing well on their own. So you've got stuff like that, like Def Leppard, that's been, you know, around for ages. Like I mentioned, Benson Boone, who, you know, that's kind of like, you know, again, I think when they announced that show, that was like back in, I think, January or February, and I just wasn't sure how well it would do because it's 23,000 seats in that amphitheater. But he's, again, has gotten really popular. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of in 2019, they booked Billie Eilish really early, and people were like, who's Billie Eilish? And at the time, she was doing theaters, and they're like, is she really a Summerfest headliner? And then, yeah, it was proven very quickly. She is definitely that caliber.
Oh, wow.
So it's a good mix of that kind of stuff. You've got kind of a rare appearance from The Killers. They're not doing a lot of dates this year. They're really popular. The Lumineers, last time they played the amphitheater, I think they sold it out. You know, there's just a really cool, there's a good mix. There's a good mix there. Lainey Wilson is a huge country star. She'll be playing in the amphitheater too. So
do you think Def Leppard will play Pour Some Sugar on Me?
I do. I think they will.
You answered that so seriously, like we were on Meet the Press. Or
it absolutely will.
The Killers, it's interesting because some of these acts, like James Taylor outside, doesn't seem that exciting to me, but I'm sure he's going to crush. Like everybody there will be all about James Taylor. So that's a great one. Yeah. I also love.
Yeah. And that's the only James Taylor date with Jason Mraz, who, you know, Jason Mraz puts on a really great live show. So that's cool that he's doing kind of this one off there.
This is great too. Like you've got, again, these bands like the Fray or the Psychedelic Furs. I mean, are they still bringing it? Like when they play concerts, have you seen them recently or do you know anything about them?
I haven't seen Psychedelic Furs in a while, but again, you'll have stuff like that in the lineup. And then you'll have, you know, newer things like T Grizzly. He's like a really popular rapper out of Detroit. I think a pretty good solid mix of stuff.
And what do you know, Piet, if anything, about Billy Corgan? And it says, and the Machines of God. Does he have all new music with this band, or will he still play some Pumpkin stuff?
Yeah, he's still going to be playing Pumpkin stuff. The idea for that is he's going to be doing kind of some deeper cuts and some things like that, not with the Pumpkins lineup, but a Pumpkin will be there to do Pumpkin things. So,
gets you the most excited about this lineup? Like, is there a particular day you're drawn to or an appearance by one of these musical acts?
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned Lainey Wilson. I mean, she's really kind of the center of the country world right now. That's going to be really big. Megan Thee Stallion is that same weekend. Megan Thee Stallion's playing June 28th. That looks really exciting. You've got Benson Boone. You've got The Killers, you know. Some of those acts are still very much A-list level or, you know, The Killers may not be quite as central into the pop culture zeitgeist, but still very popular.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then there's just like I said, there's stuff on the grounds. I think the Fountains of Wayne booking is really cool. I think Devo being there is really neat. There's some good kind of rarity kind of stuff going on too. I love that Iris Star is part of this lineup. It's great that there's Afrobeats representation.
Yeah.
I mean, what I was a little disappointed about was there's not a ton of Milwaukee hip hop yet, but the full schedule isn't out yet. And there aren't really that many Spanish language acts. Last year there was a ton, and it just seemed like it was just really exciting to see, because that's just something that's been overlooked, I think, in at the Summerfest lineup. You know, there's just a few genres like that where it's just like, it should be there and it's not.
Right.
You know, it's supposed to be something for everyone, and it generally succeeds. But then there's things like that where it's like clearly missing. And that was great to see last year. There's less of that this year. I'm hoping there's still a few slots to fill. I'm hoping we'll see some things in those few remaining slots.
My guest is Piet Levy. He writes about music for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been doing it for years and doing it incredibly well. I noticed also Richard Marx will be there, but very low down. He seems like one of those retro acts, Piet, that like I thought he would be at a bigger stage. I don't know. Is that surprise you?
Yeah, he'll still be closing a stage. I mean, a few years ago, he was playing like a 4 p.m. slot. So, you know, he'll have a closing night slot. I mean, again, if you're into Richard Marx, that's he's there. You can go see Richard Marx. If you want to see Wang Chung, you can see Wang Chung. If you want
to see God, I'd love to something, see Wang
Chung. Yeah, you want to see something newer. There's a lot of newer stuff too. So,
yeah.
I think they did a pretty good job. There's always room for improvement, always, but I think it's a pretty solid Summerfest lineup.
It looks great. I have a Richard Marx story. I have kind of an axe grind with Richard Marx, because when I moved to L.A. with my wife, my aunt was dating his father. And we were supposed to stay at their house while we got acclimated to L.A. Well, they were in a horrible car accident. His father ended up passing away. And he was a great guy. And he was very, very well-known composer. And he wrote jingles like for Ham's Beer, From the Land of Sky Blue Waters. You know, that was Dick Marx, Richard's dad. Well, Dick was great, and he said, stay here. And we get out there, and Richard Marx locked us out of the house.
Richard Marx. That's
I might
cool.
show up at that concert and give him a piece of my mind. He was trying to be nice about it. He didn't like my aunt, so he like called me, and he's apologizing. I'm like, dude, we just drove 2,000 miles. I've not sucker punched many people in my life, Piet, but Richard Marx is on my list. I'm half kidding. all right. So there's more to that story too, but that we'll do that over a beer sometime.
Okay. Sounds good.
So what else excites you about the Milwaukee? Like you mentioned the hip hop scene in Milwaukee. And I remember you kind of talking about that last year. What else is happening in Milwaukee musically that we should keep our eye on, or what excites you? Is there a new band or a new sound or something?
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, the hip hop scene is really exciting. There's a really really great rock scene right now, with like where emo is kind of leading the way. And there's a band called Bug Moment that is really good, kind of, I think, leading that charge. And there's a lot of really good bands in that scene. You know, there's some really great singer songwriter stuff. It's great because there's just so many exciting things sort of happening. Summerfest will have some of them. I'm really hoping we'll see more of those bookings, but there's a Nile Times Nile is a rapper that's really good. He's playing. You got Buffalo Nichols, who is a Milwaukee-based artist who does acoustic blues music and is really, really good. He's playing on June 19. The Keystones is a really fun, Strokes-inspired rock band that is worth checking out. They'll also be at Summerfest. And I'm sure there'll be more kind of local acts announced for that too. But yeah, there's a ton of great stuff. Coming out of Milwaukee. You go to jsonline.com/music. I'm going to be a shameless self-promoter. I'm writing that all the time. So
yeah.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, it's a pleasure covering such an exciting, talented scene.
That's fantastic. How many of these shows, like, I know you have a family. Is it hard for you to get out at night and go watch bands? Do you still have to do that, or is it done? You know, we got to take a quick break. Let's think about that, and when we come back, we'll pick up there, and we'll have a few more minutes with our guest, Piet Levy from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who is with us here at Nightlight. We are coming right back. Do not go anywhere. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, is, it is National Tourism Day. Where are you going? Let us know, and we will read your text on the radio. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone's living for their love.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. We're talking music at the moment. Rob Thomas will be here from Madison Film Critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor will be here at 7:20 to talk movies and some things going on in Madison as we make our way around the state tonight. Right now, my guest is Piet Levy. He writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and covers music. And do you get outside of Milwaukee much, Piet? I know Milwaukee's your focus, but you kind of alluded to the fact that you kind of have your finger on the pulse all over the state, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I watch what's going on, but I don't get to get out very often, you know, to go see shows and you know, in different towns around the state.
Right.
There's plenty to kind of cover in Milwaukee. And honestly, there's too much to cover. There's so much great music kind of coming out of the city, so much great original music. And so, you know, there's still a lot of great local bands I haven't seen live yet. And there's just a lot to, there's just so much. It's just,
yeah,
it's too much. And it's a great problem to have. It's an awesome problem to have. And it's just,
oh yeah,
it's really cool to be able to write about it, to share what people are doing in their own backyard. Some amazing things.
Yeah. So how do you do that? How often do you get out during the week and see live music?
Well, I don't go out like every week during the week to see live music, but I'm just like listening to stuff all the time. And then I'm covering a ton of shows, and I'll be at Summerfest all 9 days. Summer is really kind of the really busy season for me. So I'll be covering kind of a lot of stuff. I'll be at Summerfest and the Harley Fest and going to lots of kind of one-off concerts and just kind of, you know, checking out as much stuff as I can, listening to as much stuff as I can.
Yeah.
Just trying to really stay connected and tapped in. There's a ton to cover, but it's a thrill to do it.
Yeah, you talked about this festival that hasn't announced their lineup yet, which is a neighborhood festival on the east side called the Summer Solstice Music Festival. Like, whereas Summerfest is kind of a spectacle and it's this huge event, that sounded really cool. Is that still happening?
Yeah, that's still going to be happening in June. And there's like a ton of great festivals and fairs are going to be happening. I mean, that's what's so great about Milwaukee is, you know, I mean, it's the city of festivals is obviously the nickname. There's so much stuff happening, whether it's, you know, Summer Solstice or whether, you know, it's Pride Fest or whether it's Irish Fest or German Fest or, you know, all these different kinds of things. The State Fair. There's just so much stuff to go to.
Yeah.
There's just a ton of things to go to. And a ton of it is really fueled by music. So it's an incredible time because it's just, you know, we're in the cold for so many months. And it's just great to kind of get out and just right. to hear so much stuff and just enjoy the great weather, enjoy great music, enjoy great company or whatever it might be. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy summer for sure.
What about Harley Homecoming? Is that who's playing there? What will that event be like? And is it open?
Yeah.
To the public?
So, I mean, yeah. Oh yeah, totally. I mean, it will be. I mean, Harley Homecoming has become kind of probably the second biggest music festival in Milwaukee behind Summerfest. You know, every 5 years, Harley Davidson would do this big bash across the city. A lot of times they'd have musicians. People may remember Elton John was famously a surprise performer at the Harley Homecoming many years ago, which got some mixed reactions, but did a free show. But still some people were expecting like Springsteen or Rolling Stones. And,
Springsteen played there though years ago, didn't he? Like about 15?
He did. Yeah. He did the He did the one after that.
Okay.
So every 5 years Harley would do this. But then the last few years they've been doing an annual music festival. Well, an annual festival where they have things going on at different dealerships around town, things at the Harley Museum, at their powertrain operations. And then the centerpiece is this Veterans Park concert. This year it's happening July 11th and 12th. It's actually happening the weekend after last weekend of Summerfest. And the last couple of years they've had acts like Foo Fighters and Green Day and Red Hot Chili Peppers and Jelly Roll and Hardy. And this year it's really become, you know, it's very rock heavy. And this year it's like basically all country Americana acts. Obviously a lot of them will be rocking too, but it's definitely in that mold. And you've got Chris Stapleton is a big headliner. Hank Williams Jr. is a big headliner.
Wow.
And then these buzzy acts like Turnpike Troubadours and Treaty Oak Revival and Sierra Farrell, Charlie's Wesley Godwin. A lot of really interesting acts that are kind of in that, you know, country or alt country or Americana vein. You know, and I think last year they had, I mean, it's tens of thousands of people. I think last year it was, you know, with the 2 days combined, I think it was around 50 or something like that, 50,000 people. So it's become a big thing. It really, and it feels like, for anyone that's gone like Lollapalooza in Chicago, it's got more of that kind of vibe because you're going in a field. Yes, there's porta potties, but it's still, you're still surrounded by the skyline, and it's still great. And it's cool that there's enough room in a city like Milwaukee to have that.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you've got festivals like pretty much every weekend. You know, this summer is going to be interesting from a Wisconsin concert perspective, because this summer you'll see the first concerts of Camp Randall in Madison since 1997. Oh, yeah. Camp Randall has become is getting back into the concert game. You know, last year it was approved that they could sell alcohol. That was the kind of the thing that kept the tours from coming, is, you know, when there were some shows there in the 90s, like Rolling Stones, U2.
Yeah.
They were dry shows. They did not sell alcohol. And alcohol sales are very, very much desired and really from a financial standpoint, very much needed for like huge tours like this at this point. So now they can sell alcohol. And this year, for its first year as a concert venue again, you've got Morgan Wallen, who's, you know, just a massive country star, doing two nights in June. One of those is actually opposite Summerfest. And then in July, you have Coldplay, which their tour is like the top selling tour ever in terms of tickets.
Wow.
So they'll be there too. So you've got that in addition to Summerfest, in addition to the Harley Fest, in addition to all the other festivals and everything else kind of going on.
Lots of options. Buddy, thank you for your time. This is great reconnecting. Let's do it again and not wait so long. Love talking to you, and love talking to you about music. Keep up the great work. Let's do it again.
Thanks a lot. Okay, yeah, buddy. Definitely, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks.
You got it. All right. That's Piet Levy. Follow him on Twitter, too, by the way, at Piet Levy. He does great work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Just a really excellent writer. Pete Schwabba, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight, folks, on this Monday night. Finally, a warm and sunny night here in the state of Wisconsin. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, and I just wanted to shout out some good words to some of my colleagues here at Civic Media. The Wisconsin Broadcast Association Awards were this past weekend. Congrats to Brittany Merlot, the Snow Queen, bringing home 3 awards. That's incredible. Maggie Dawn won Best Radio Show. Todd Alba, Best Feature, I think, or Best Special. Mino and the Mayor, they were like, what, second or third radio show?
Second, yeah.
That's really cool here in Northeast Wisconsin. Jane and Greg won a Best Feature Award. Amanda Nimmer, Best Social Media, right here at WGBW, WISS, part of the team. And Todd Alba, and yourself for producing. You've been involved with Mino and the Mayor.
Yeah.
Not in a weird way. I mean, producing your show.
Yeah.
And they owe you a debt of gratitude.
Yes.
So congratulations to all the awards taken home by Civic Media the other day. Very cool stuff. All right. So keep those texts coming, folks. The question of the night is, what is your favorite teen movie? This was inspired by my friend Mike Siegel, who is about to join us. He sent me a picture of Damone a couple weeks ago, and all I have to do is look at that guy, and I hear his voice, and I hear his lines from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I think about him selling concert tickets on the down low, and I thought, we need to talk about teen movies. So it is my pleasure to welcome now to Nightlight a guy who's no stranger to our airwaves. He is the host of the Travel Tales podcast, a very funny comedian and TV host as well, my pal Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I was fascinated by that story of the mice drinking the wine. That's good stuff there, buddy.
That's money well spent. We needed to know that, Mike. We needed to know that. Those are fun to write.
I bet.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm in town for a little while, so that's kind of nice. So I'm usually, you know, flying this way or that way, or performing on a cruise ship or doing something. So it's nice to kind of like chill for a little bit, although it's kind of I don't know if you remember from your days in LA, this is the May gray time of year.
Yeah.
When it's, kind of, it's cloudy. It doesn't rain, but it's just gray and cool.
Well, your gray period is a lot shorter there than here. So I really no sympathy for you, Mike. Where were you? Were you on a cruise or just traveling and enlightening yourself as you often do?
Well, a little bit of both. I combined one. I did a ship in February, and it left me off. It dropped me off in Rio de Janeiro, and I looked on the I looked at the dates, and it was the first week of March actually, and I went, wait a minute, I know that's really close to Mardi Gras time. And it was like 2 days before Fat Tuesday. So it's like, wait a minute, I'm just going to stay here for a few days and see this. And that was pretty amazing. I had been to Rio before, but never during Carnival. And it was pretty nuts.
It just seems like an absolute spectacle, but like something you'd want to be alone at. You don't want to take your family, the wife and kids, or even the girlfriend. It seems like you just want to walk around yourself and absorb everything.
I did, and I did do that, but on the other side, it would have been a lot more fun in my 20s, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's one of those things where I was an observer, and I think back then I would have been more of a participant.
Yeah.
But I was pretty good to stand back and watch the spectacle rather than be the spectacle these days.
Rather than be the guy running around in a jockstrap and clogs and just
exactly
waving your arms around because you're so happy it's Fat Tuesday.
Well, I talk about it, and every time I go to a town, especially a city where, you know, it can be kind of rough, I never want to stand out as a tourist, so I always try to, like, you know, try to fit in, and I knew, like, 2 minutes into, like, walking on the street in Rio that I was not going to fit in, mostly because what I was, the way I was dressed, because I was wearing clothes, and they're not... They're not that big into that.
You have the khakis on and the cardigan. Hey, who's the stiff?
You know, I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. They asked me if I was going to a wedding.
That is fantastic. What do you ever like get sound bites when you're at these places, Mike, for your podcast? Or do you play stuff or do you interview people where you are as opposed to just people who can talk about travel?
I do sometimes, like especially on the ships, and I've interviewed a bunch of like my fellow performers or some of the cruise directors and things like that. But yeah. Something on the street like that is just so insane, and the audio is terrible. And you know, some of these places you don't want to be walking around with anything expensive looking sound equipment or good microphone or something. Well, I mean, pickpockets and street crime, and that can be
it's that bad, huh?
It depends on where you are, of course. Yeah. You know, I mean, I took the train there and the metro in Rio, and it was fine. But then again, during Carnival, there was a heavy police presence and, you know, so many tourists that they're on the lookout for stuff like that. But I did ask one of these guides of where I was going to the Samba parade. I was going to take the train in the middle of the night, and he's like, the stop you got to get off of there, we wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, really?
And I was like, okay. So
wow.
I erred on the side of caution. I probably would have been fine, but, you know, hey, I'll spend the extra dough there.
Yeah. Have you ever been pickpocketed either when traveling somewhere or even like in Chicago or LA, or you ever been pickpocketed?
You know, knock on wood, I'm uber careful now, but yeah. I have, I've been in some places where, I mean, certain cities, you know, I've known so many people and interviewed so many people that have gotten, you know, stuff stolen, like in Barcelona, it's very common. Usually on mass transit, you got to really be careful. And the beaches too, like people lying out on the beach and like they go into the water and there's somebody, or even like lying in the sun with their eyes closed. Somebody just walked by, snatched something.
The wallet and the shoe. They'll never figure that out.
But whereas opposed to, you know, America, they're afraid of coming here because the crime is less street crime, but more violent crime.
Okay. Right.
Know? So, you know, guns and things. That's whatever the world is scared of. That's what I'm scared of here.
Sure. I don't think I've never been pickpocketed. I think if I were to be pickpocketed, I'd hope they'd be bad at it and just keep their hand in my pocket.
Oh, he's wearing the boxing gloves.
Giggity, it's like, giggity, sir. Giggity. Yeah. Boxing gloves.
Like, you're doing this all wrong, sir. You got to take off the gloves.
My guest is Mike Siegel. He's the host of the Travel Tales podcast and a TV personality and a very funny stand-up comedian. Mike, let's talk about, like I mentioned when I brought you on the show, this whole subject talk tonight was inspired by the picture you sent me of Damone.
Oh, right.
It's one of the greatest, you know, not even a lead character, like a secondary character, but made such an impression in that movie and was so great.
Oh, yeah. And it was one of those things where it's like that came out. I think I was a freshman, between my freshman and sophomore year in high school. So it was like hit me right in the wheelhouse. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like I was like, is this what high school's going to be?
Yeah.
You know, I just thought it was.
I think, too, like what's so funny is like I never used drugs, but I always laugh the hardest at the drug kids. Like,
oh, Spicoli. Yeah.
Yeah. Those kind of, like, I remember a kid coming in late. We had to go to daily mass because it was a Catholic school. We'd go to daily mass and this guy walks in, this kid, this eighth grader walks in like 20 minutes late. And the priest looks at him and he goes, where were you, Dave? And he stands there. I swear to God, he stands there for like 10 seconds. He just goes, I was late. And I'm just like,
that's perfect.
It's perfect. And it's just, it cracks me up. So there's a whole cast of those characters in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, including Spicoli is also the highlight of that. But whatever happened to Damone? I know I would see him at the grocery store sometimes. I can't even think of the actor's name at the moment. I can look it up. But
Richard Ramanis. He yes. Actually owned for a while in your neck of the woods over there. I think maybe it was on Cahuenga. He owned a coffee house for a little while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like in a little espresso, something like Bob's Espresso, or yeah, something like
no
that.
Kidding.
Or Robert Romanus, I think is his name.
Robert Romanus, yeah.
And he would pop up. I remember seeing him in a Sopranos episode as well.
Oh, no kidding.
So every so often he'd pop up in some kind of episodic TV thing. And I was like, but you know, he'll always be Damone. It was like, is that Damone playing a lawyer? Right. What's he doing?
Right. He'd top off your coffee and try to sell you Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets or something.
Oh my God. How many people must have, oh God, he has to answer to that every day, right?
Every Still, day. Probably. And you're right. He like the sad thing is like, if you're the Fonz or some huge role where you cashed in on and you became a very rich person, he's a minor role on this movie. And he didn't cash in on that. Like how, maybe he can go to festivals or like conventions, but yeah, he's got to make a living. You know,
Ratner, same thing. I think he finally left acting.
Oh, did he?
You know,
really?
After, you know, Mark the Rat Ratner, he was like by the 90s, he was, you know, he was out of it.
I just figured he would have gone full time at the movie theater, but maybe that...
you get to wear a nice tux. It's all right.
He was great, too, in the movie, though. Like those guys, they were all fantastic. All right. So let's talk about this. So what is your favorite scene from the movie, Mike? And I know we're going to give each other a little quiz. I do have a couple questions prepared for you that are like little mini trivia questions. But let's talk about the movie first. Like, do you have a favorite scene in the film?
Well, one of them is definitely, I mean, I don't know what I can say on the radio or not.
Use your best judgment. No,
okay.
No F or S bombs, please.
Well, when, you know, Spicoli's in the, he comes in late.
Yeah.
And again, like Dave-esque, you know, is like, I think Mr. Hand comes down on him, you know, and tears up his thing and tells him to go down to the, down to the principal's office. Right. I don't know. Can I say it?
I don't think we could say the D word. Can we? No, we okay. can't. You could substitute it with the P word for that body part, I think.
Well, but he just stared at him and just let him have it.
Right.
Just right in his grill.
You
and it just
blank.
Like...
Yeah.
And it was the dream of every kid in high school to be able to do that to their worst teacher.
And he didn't care. I mean, it was just like, and when he says like, there's a full crowd scene down by the vending machines, like that's just your world when you're that. He's like, I can't go to class. Look at this action down here.
By the way, when the guy in your class came in stoned and you said his name was Dave, I thought he was going to go into the whole Cheech and Chong bit. Dave's not here, man.
No.
Which would have been his only better answer that he gave.
Yeah, I would have had some respect for him if he had done it. do you have a favorite character from Fast Times?
I got to go with you. I got to go with Damone. Like, he steals it, man. He really does. Oh, Sean Penn, of course, but
yeah,
Damone
Sean
really
Penn. Sean Penn's kind of like, you just accept he's the best character.
Yeah.
Separate of that, and I love Judge Reinhold in it, but I would probably have to say Damone too, just because of he makes the most of his on-camera time, and he's so great. But I would have to say Spicoli. I would still, like, as great as an actor as Sean Penn is, that's one of his best. He's phenomenal.
He still has, right? He hasn't topped it. Oscar or no Oscar, he still hasn't topped it.
Exactly. Although I did like him. I loved Sean Penn in Bad Boys. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes. He's great in
he's
everything.
Awesome in it.
He's great in everything.
But, what about
no Ratner career for him?
Yeah, no, he ran. But that's a role you would think it would be hard to overcome too. Spicoli is very iconic, and like he didn't even like think twice. He was already in all these other movies and At Close Range and Bad Boys and all these. So that's pretty impressive that he was able.
Well, he had been on Broadway. It was either before that. I don't know if you saw the Val Kilmer documentary, but he was on a great documentary.
Yeah.
Did a play with Val Kilmer and I think Kevin Bacon and. On Broadway, so I mean, he'd been around.
Yeah,
you know, he was established as an actor, and he made it clear, you know, he wanted to do dramas after that, and he didn't want to be pegged.
Great stuff. All right, we'll dig a little deeper into Fast Times when we come back. I'm going to give Mike a quick trivia quiz on the film, and he can certainly do that to me if you have something prepared, Mike. Otherwise, no worries.
Oh,
and,
I do.
Fantastic!
I don't know if I'll stump you, Pete. Challenge but I'm going to try.
Accepted. All right, we're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. When did I fall? I wanna cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you. Someone's living for love.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down the night shift.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am your loyal host, Pete Schwabba. Conrad is riding shotgun, and there's a great text we got. The question of the night is, what is your favorite teen movie? From the 920, Rain says 3 o'clock High was fun. I forgot about that movie, but that was a great movie.
That one was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, that one didn't get a lot of publicity though. We were like, so you and I are around the same age. So we all got like the same, we were in the John Hughes land, you know, so he kind of dominated that whole scene, but there was a lot of product there.
Yeah.
But it's always interesting to see how each generation has their own high school movie. Like people after us, there was like Clueless, and then American Pie was like a huge one in the 90s for people.
Super Bad was another great one.
Yeah. And I don't know you have kids. I don't know. Do they have one that they really?
Yeah. It's interesting because I think that the truly great ones do stand the test of time. Just during the break, Conrad was saying he watched Fast Times about 4 months ago. Loved it. My son, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Basically the same age, loved Superbad, which came out when he was a baby, basically. But he also loves Fast Times. Like, I think you can, a great movie is a great movie, you know, regardless of its aesthetics, I guess. But yeah, I agree with you about 3 o'clock High. Paula, Conrad's mom checks in and says, all of the Back to the Future movies. Yeah, great films. Great films. Monica from Mount Horeb from the 608, she says, one more hysterical movie that hasn't been mentioned, Good Burger. I never saw Good Burger. Is that
Keenan
Thompson?
For me. Yeah, Keenan and Kel.
He's so funny.
So they were like, if you grew up Nickelodeon or whatever they were on, they were stars, big.
That one slipped through the cracks. Mike and I, Mike Siegel, that is the voice of Mike Siegel, the host of the Travel Tales podcast. Check out his podcast. It's fantastic. And he's also a very funny comedian and TV host as well. And we are both, we go back a long way, but we're both huge fans of the film Dazed and Confused. And Mike, I was looking at all the cameos, like one of them is going to be a question I ask you, but even actors like this, I think it's David Chivarelli was the teacher that pulled the heart out or whatever.
Oh, you're talking to, oh, okay. You said
Vincent,
Dazed and Confused.
I'm sorry.
So that's why.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fast Times. Vincent Schiavelli.
Schiavelli.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's one of my questions for you.
Oh, okay.
Are we going to ask the questions? You want me to quiz you?
Let's start, but I do want to say that one of my favorite Spicoli lines is when he's getting on the bus and he knows they're going to look at cadavers, and Schiavelli says, are you in this class? And he goes, oh, I am today. So great. Let's do our quizzes. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go.
All right.
I'll ask you one. And this has relate to Vincent Schiavelli, that character actor. Always a weird looking dude, and he pops up in a million films.
He's great.
But he was a science teacher at Fast Times. Do you remember his character's name?
Oh, man. No, I don't.
Can't remember. Can't pull it.
I'm looking at it right now because I have IMDb Pro open. So that would be cheating, but I wouldn't have guessed it.
Mr. Vargas.
Mr. Vargas.
That's Mr. Vargas.
Yes. Damn, that's a good one. See, I wanted you to second, challenge me. I wanted
before,
to.
Okay, yeah. take the IMDb away.
Okay.
Don't look.
I'm going off.
Do you know at the end of the oh, sorry, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, there, I got you now. Okay, do I know the end of is all I heard?
No, do you know at the end during the dance who played the actress who played his wife?
Good God, these are, you are doing a deep, no, I don't.
But there's a reason I'm asking this.
All right, should I?
Well, it got note. Later on, like 20 years later, because her name was Lana Clarkson, and that was the woman who died in Phil Spector's house, who he supposedly killed.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
I never would have got that.
And I wouldn't have either until, you know, when she, unfortunately, you know, was the victim of this, that they kept pulling that scene, you know, in her basically obituary.
She put, so horrible. She was a,
you know, she played, you know, the hot blonde in all these B movies.
Yeah.
In the 80s, and that was like one of the bigger films she was in.
That's
so
awful.
Yeah, it's a little obscure tidbit. I didn't know if you'd get that one.
I would not have, and Joseph on the stream just said, and the science teacher showed up with his supermodel wife at the dance. So
yeah,
thinking along the
and
same
that's who
lines.
That was.
All right, I'm 0-2. Let's just keep going with your questions. Well, maybe we'll get to mine after the news because I got to redeem myself here.
Okay. The song playing in the dugout when Jennifer Jason leaves.
Somebody's Baby, Jackson story. Brown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
That's timely because I literally just saw him play that at a festival yesterday.
Oh, get out of here. You know what's so funny, Mike? I don't know if you remember this. We used to do comic softball in Encino for a while back in the early 2000s. And
yes,
those fields... That was those fields. I remember looking at the dugouts going, which dugout was it? Like, that's one of the fun things about living in L.A. Was that the scene where Jennifer Jason Leigh lost her virginity to the Jackson Brown song, you know?
So absolutely.
Great. All right.
So that you got that one. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I had a
one
couple
for
more.
Three. Okay.
Do you remember, this is an easier one, do you remember the name of the burger place that Judge Reinhold was fired from?
I think I have that same question for you. Yes, I do. All-American Burger.
All-American Burger.
Great.
Whose rules are?
No shirt.
Shirt.
No shoes. No dice.
No dice.
All right. I'm 2-for-4. I'm coming back. How are we doing on time, Conrad? We got about a minute. Okay.
Do I have another one? Let's see. Okay. I have one last one. Ready?
Yep. You bet.
Okay. What band does Jefferson ask Damone tickets for?
Oh.
He wants to take his little brother.
Cheap Trick.
No.
What?
Jefferson, the football player, wants these.
Oh. Jefferson Airplane? Jefferson
no.
Starship? You said Jefferson. Oh, Jefferson.
Jefferson is the football player.
I need help.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Two Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets for Jefferson and little brother.
Those
and he
are,
writes it down.
Those are the tickets I'd want. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Champion of dance, his moves will
put you in a trance, and he never leaves the disco alone. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.